your robe, you put on strength as your belt. You are the one who has established this world. It will never be moved so long as you uphold it. Lord, you are the one whose throne is established from of old. You are the one who is from everlasting. Lord, if we do not cry out in praise to you, the stones will. You are mightier than the thunder of many waters. You are mightier than the waves of the sea. Lord, you are on high and mighty. And Lord, we acknowledge today as we open your word that your decrees are trustworthy. We acknowledge that holiness befits your house. And Lord, this is true from eternity past, in the present moment, and for eternity future. And so we lift you up here today. We pray as your word is opened among us, you would speak to us, and that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see the glorious splendor from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, as you have a seat, I want to make sure I introduce someone. Beginning of last month, we announced to you that the Lord had led us as elders to hire Jesse Caraggio as our worship director, and Jesse and his wife Brooke are now here with us full time, and I wanted to introduce you all to them and welcome them to our family. Jesse and Jake will be working together throughout December as we walk through a transition season, but we are so thankful to the Lord to have you and Brooke with us, and we look forward to just serving the Lord together. So thanks, Jesse. As you are seated there, grab your Bible, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 7, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 7, and if you need a Bible, you'll find one in a seat back. Somewhere close by you there. If you don't own a Bible, please take that one home with you. That is our gift to you. I want us to acknowledge as we kind of settle in with that open Bible in our lap that the Word of God will change our life. And many of you sit here today as a testimony to that reality. The Word of God is exactly that. It is the Word of God. And as we open it, and as we hear from it, as we understand it, as we worship over it, as we obey it, it changes everything. If you've walked in here today and you just feel a bit lost, wondering what turn to make, wondering where to go, God's Word says about itself that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That quite literally, the Word of God has power to enlighten your next steps and show you where to go. If you've walked in here today discouraged and depressed, despondent, feeling weighed down and crushed under the load of life right now, the Word of God has power today, this morning, to revive your soul. If you're looking for answers this morning, you've made your way into church because you're looking for answers at what it actually means for you to know God. It's the Word of God which gives us the good news of the world of how we come to faith through the Word of Christ. There is power in God's Word. Last week, we looked in Nehemiah chapter 6 as the walls around Jerusalem were completed. Nehemiah 6 and verse 15 told us that the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul. In 52 days, this work was done. It was done in the midst of great opposition, and we have a city in the midst of a major rebuild. The temple has been rebuilt. The walls now have been completed. But I want us to understand something about the state of Jerusalem. I almost have in your head, in some ways, a picture of a kind of bombed out, rubbled city. This is the state in which the city of Jerusalem still finds itself in. It is a city in a major rebuild. As Nehemiah chapter 7 begins, we begin to see that now with the wall rebuilt, there's order that Nehemiah seeks to lead the way to preserve some order back in the midst of the chaos. Look at what we find in Nehemiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. And I said to them, 'Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors, appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes.'" And now look at kind of the state of the city address we find in verse 4. "The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt." So it's just kind of get a glimpse of the state of Jerusalem right now. As chapter 7 begins, we begin to see Nehemiah restoring order in the midst of the chaos. He's appointing gatekeepers by the gates that have been rebuilt. He's appointing singers and Levites. Remember something? Jerusalem was to be a singing city, a worshiping city. And I just love that one of the things we find Nehemiah putting order back into right away. It's like, okay, gatekeepers, get by the gate. We got to protect all this that the Lord is rebuilding. Now, singers, Levites, we got to restore the order of worship in this place. We see in these verses that Nehemiah has begun to delegate leadership to Hananiah to begin to oversee some of the details of the city. We see instructions for the gates. Okay, here's when they open, here's when they close, here's how this is going to work. And as I've said already, we see the state of the city summarized in verse 4. The city's wide and large, but the people within it are few, and no houses had been built. Now, to the state of the people in the city and the state of the need to rebuild homes within the city, we find Nehemiah lead the charge in this in verse 5. It says, "Then my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. And I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up at the first, and I found written in it, these were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of those exiles from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried into exile. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his town. They came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpereth, Bigvai, Nahum, and Bana." So Nehemiah now calls for a census. And in this, like, right, there's a lot of detail here, but this is important detail. He's looking at the state of the city. He's understanding that the city's wide and vast. There's a few people in it. We need to understand both who these people are, and we also need to understand who they descend from so we can understand who has rights over certain property plots. As the houses are going to be rebuilt, we got to know who's here. We got to know who, okay, this plot of ground, it comes to the descendants of these people. So this is you. And so here's all I want you to see in the midst of chapter 7. Because from here now to the end of chapter 7 are the names they find in the book of the genealogy as Nehemiah seeks to bring order in the midst of the chaos of the rebuilding. But over and above Nehemiah's work here, we're watching God do what we've said he's doing throughout this entire series. He's restoring, reviving, and rebuilding his people in his city. And so from here to the end of chapter 7 is the names they find in this book of genealogy. But now, I want to take us to the beginning of chapter 8. Because what we're going to find throughout chapter 8 today is truly something miraculous. I don't believe this to be overstatement. I believe Nehemiah chapter 8 is one of the most powerful expressions of revival that we see in all of the scriptures. And it's one of the most powerful expressions of revival with God's word right smack dab in the midst of what God's doing in the heart of his people. And so I want us to walk today through Nehemiah chapter 8, and I want us to see from this chapter what I'm calling six convictions for people of the Word. Six convictions for people of the Word. Now, if I can, let me put all six elements that we're going to see here today into one long sentence that serves as our main idea, and it's simply this. People of God's Word hunger for it, are attentive to it, worship through it, seek to understand it, rejoice in it, and joyfully obey it. These six elements serve throughout this chapter as six convictions for people of the Word, and I want us to see these as we make our way through this chapter today. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, your eyes on the Word with me, and it says this. And it says, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month." I want you to stop here, and I want to just give the first of these six convictions for people of the Word, and it's simply this. People of the Word, first and foremost, hunger for the Word. Look with me what we find here back in verse 1. "And all the people gathered as one man." There's a statement of a united front here. All in the midst of kind of all the chaos, and the city is wide, and the people are few, and no house had been rebuilt. Now, kind of imagine that. Imagine all the priorities that could have gone onto their priority list right now. We got to get the house rebuilt. We got to get the garden tilled. We got to get the field planted. And they said, no. What we need to do right now, first and foremost, with the walls finished, we need to meet in the square in front of the water gate and bring us the law of the Lord, bring us the Word of God, and read to us this law. It's remarkable. "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel." Bring us the book. Read us the book. We must be about the book. Before they're even focused on the rebuilding of their homes, get to the square in front of the water gate and let us hear the word of the Lord read over us. There is a hunger for the word. How hungry are you for the word of God right now? You know, I think all of us are acquainted with physical hunger, how our stomachs growl, how as our stomachs growl, we begin to think about our next meal. We begin to think about how good it will taste. We begin to think about how it will fill and satisfy us. What kind of spiritual appetite do we have for His Word right now? What kind of craving to meditate on it, to read it, to understand it, to be in it, to let it form and shape our life? And if we're in here today, and if we're honest, and if it's kind of like our time in God's Word kind of waxes and wanes, and we have a season, and then we kind of don't have time in it for a while, and if we're just honest, we're like, yeah, my hunger for the Word right now, it's maybe not what I wished it would be. What will give us a greater hunger? And this might sound like circular reasoning to you, but what gives us a greater hunger for the Word of God is to be in the Word of God. Amen. Just like when you have tasted, you've gone to a restaurant or you've tasted a new dish and you're like, that was amazing. What gives you a greater hunger for it? The more you eat it, the more you hunger for it. This is a picture of our oldest, the first time he tasted ice cream. And what those eyes say to you is, what was that? Once you've tasted it, and the more you taste it, the more you hunger for it. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10 say this about the word: the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. The more you hunger for his word, the more you're in his word, the more you find his word sweeter than honey. And so if you are in here today and you're like, honestly, my hunger for the Lord, it kind of needs a starting point, or it kind of needs a restarting point, I just want to give you this challenge. This QR code will take you to a reading plan. And between now and the end of the year, you can make your way through the Gospel of John in this reading plan. Like, the greatest hope I have for this sermon today is that we would all walk out with such a high, worshipful view of the Word of God that gives us such a hunger to be back in it, because we see its power and we see how the Lord will use it in our life. And so if you're like, you know what, today is a day I need to recommit, this QR code will take you to a 25-day reading plan for you to do between now and the end of the year. In 2026, as a church, we're going to lay before you a couple different reading plan options for us to choose from and for us to be able to be in the Word together and to walk in that together. But I want us to see here from the very beginning that the people gather as one man in the square. They say, bring us the book. Let's read from the book. But their hunger for the word leads to like this crazy, uncommon attentiveness to the word. So six convictions for people of the word. The first, we hunger for the word. The second, we are attentive to the word. People of the word are attentive to the word. Look at this now in verse 3. It says, and he read from it, Ezra, he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And so they say, Ezra, bring us the law of the Lord. We need to hear the reading of God's word. And they gather there as one man into the square in front of the water gate. And now I just want you to picture this. All of them gathered there as one assembly and one accord, unified to hear God's word. It says that Ezra comes up and he reads the law of the Lord over them. And it tells us how long they're hearing the reading of the word. How long does it say? From early morning until midday. Now take it from a kid growing up who, if the pastor went 5 minutes over and is preaching, I'm like, come on, man. Now I am that man. But you have here God's people gathered in the square from sun up to high noon, hearing the word of the Lord read. But they're not just hearing it. This verse tells us how they're hearing it. And all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. There's something happening in Hebrew there that's trying to be communicated into English, but basically there's a picture to this, and the picture says the ears of the people are toward the book of the law. So as they sit from sunup to high noon, the people there are sitting, leaning forward, ears straining to hear the reading of God's word over them. What does ear-turning attentiveness to the word of God look like in our life this week? What does ear-turning attentiveness look like with the word of God this week? What's it look like in your personal time in God's word? That as you sit tomorrow morning or maybe late tonight, whenever you meet with the Lord in his word, that you would look at him and you'd say, Father, I don't only just want to see ink on page. I want my ear turned to hear from you. What does it look like as we gather in groups this week And with the Word of God kind of in the center of our gathering and talking about what we find in Nehemiah chapter 8, that we're like, Lord, we're not only here to talk about, we want to hear. Our ear is turned to you. What does it look like and how we walk in to hear the preaching of the Word each week? That we would come with our ears turned to hear from the Lord. And how do we, if I can just challenge us on some things, not laying legalistic rules down for you, but some things to consider. What does it look like and how we prepare to come and hear the preaching of the Word together? What does it look like in how we go to bed on Saturday night? Getting enough night's sleep to come in with our mind and our heart actually ready to hear the Word of the Lord. I actually heard John Piper say, teens, you're not going to like me, okay? I actually heard John Piper say once, and he wasn't laying it down again as a legalistic rule. He says, parents, you let your kids stay out late on Friday night, but you have them home at a decent hour on Saturday night as a way of teaching them, like, we are going to prepare our heart and our mind to hear the preaching of the Word and gather with God's people on Sunday morning. Teens, I told you, you wouldn't like me, okay? What does it look like to get up on a Sunday morning with enough time that we're not so rushed and frantic that we're coming in here, like, already just, like, dripping in sweat, and we're like, we just feel like we walked through World War III just getting our kids into, like, giving it time to breathe. What's it look like coming in and sitting here and beginning to just calm and quiet our heart and say, Lord, I believe we're here on purpose today. I believe your Word's going to be open and you have something to say to us. What's it look like as the Word is preached to be leaning forward, pen in hand, engaged in what he is saying? But I just want us to see here that God's people are gathered. They're gathered in the water gate. They're gathered there from sun up to midday. And it says they're attentive. Their ear is bent toward the Word of God. They're listening with a great attentiveness. But listen, they're not only attentive. Their attentiveness to the Word is accompanied with this reverence for the Word. Conviction number three. People of the Word are worshipfully reverent through the Word. They're worshipfully reverent through the Word. Look at what we find here in verses 4 to 6. It says, "And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah on his right hand, and Padiah, Mishael, Melchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." So think about this. When you read, especially narrative in God's Word, you're bringing it to your mind's eye in what you're reading. And so you have all the people who have gathered in the square in front of the water gate. They're hungering for the Word of the Lord to be read over them. And out of reverence for the Word, so let's go as silent as we can in this place right now. It says Ezra walked up on the platform. And as he comes to the place, the box made for this occasion. Now do what they do when this happens. Says the Word is opened, and all the people. And just stay right here for a minute. So there's this standing out of reverence for the Word. And then as Ezra begins reading the Word, we're told that the people are engaged in the reading of it both vocally and physically. They're standing. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. They're lifting up their hands. They're bowing their heads. And it says they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Think about this. We, I think, are more accustomed to this kind of display of worship when we're singing to the Lord. And all of us say, rightfully so, that the way we're vocally expressive, physically expressive. But look at what God's people here are like just in their worship over hearing the word of the Lord. They're saying what? Amen, amen. So often I run into you between Sundays and they're like, oh man, when we read that certain verse out of the word this Sunday, I was so fired up and I just wanted to stand and shout. And what do I say to you? Do it. Do it. This, I totally believe, what is to happen as the word of God is preached is, look, we're going to stand up here on the box made for this occasion and we're going to declare the word of the Lord. And as I preach to you, you all preach back to me. Amen, amen. Yes. Now, I know that totally like grates against all the way we do button-up Midwest culture. But as the Spirit of God is giving you expressions of worship in hearing the word of the Lord, express it. But not only vocally, physically, it says they stood. It says as the word is going, hands are in the air. It says their heads are bowed. What if this wasn't weird? What if this wasn't weird? What if physical expression to hearing the word of the Lord was actually biblical and normative? That there might be a Sunday where it could become normal at Redeemer Bible Church that we're reading from Psalm 96 and someone just gets out of their seat with their face on the ground worshiping. And what if that was just normal? That we get mid-sermon on something and someone is so moved by the Spirit over the word of God that hands are going in the air, just like when we're singing a song. There is a worshipful reverence for his word. And so here's what just happened. What just happened right now is this sermon just became a two-part sermon. Because... amen. Thanks, Jeff. Because while I would love to gather till midday, there are children across the way. But I want to give us space, with you standing, I want to give us space to close with this kind of responsiveness fresh on our mind. Here's how we're going to close. I'm going to ask Alec to come right here, Jesse to come right here. They have microphones. We're going to close with a time, instead of singing the word of the Lord, we're going to close with a time of reciting the word of the Lord together. And so here's the deal. We're after right now in these moments purely God's word. We don't want to hear, I love y'all, we don't want to hear any of our words here. We're going to walk to the microphone. God, with a passage from his word on our hand, and we're simply going to read that passage. And as the word of God is read over us, you all can express acts of worship to the Lord and what you're hearing from his word. The people of God here, they're hungering for his word. They're attentive to his word, and they're worshiping over hearing the law of the Lord read. So I need a couple bold people right now. I need some of you to make a line right here with Alec. I need some of you on this side to make a line right here with Jesse. And a passage of God in hand. And don't wait until they're done reading. Just come up right now, make a line. We're going to read the word of the Lord together. As God's people, we're going to stand for the reading of his word. If you need to sit at any time, sit. But vocally respond. Lift your hands. Bow your face. Let's hear from the word of the Lord. Those reading, face the congregation as you read. Alec, here, let's start on this side right here.
Okay, from Joshua 2:4, study the book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor all your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation in the name of our God. Set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and we stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Yes. Psalm 21-9.
Amen. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and on the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling down and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
First Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance.
Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're so used to in Western church having a formal start and a formal end. There's no formal end today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear everyone whom the Lord has put on their heart to read scripture. You're going to stay and you're going to go as the Lord leads. If you need to leave, get kids, get to something, that's not unspiritual, okay? So just at whatever time you need to go, there's kids workers back there who are going, yeah, at some point you do need to come, okay? But we're just going to read God's word over this place. You go, you stay as the Lord leads. If the 11 o'clock service comes in and we're still reading the Word of God, they'll be like, hey, they're reading the Word of God, okay? And so consider this year, you are loved and you are sent, but just as you go quietly, because we want to hear reverently the Word of the Lord read. Amen? All right, just
1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed.
Proverbs 22:17-21. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even you. Have I not written you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you?
Isaiah 43:1-3. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Proverbs 3:3-5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Psalm 63:3-4. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands.
Psalm 73:23-28. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works.
Romans 8:18-21. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children.
Luke 19:37-40. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.
Wherefore also God highly exalt him and give unto him the name which every name shall bow. That name Jesus, every knee shall bow, and the things in the heavens and the things on earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And glory be to God.
Genesis 50:20-21. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he confirmed them and spoke kindly to them.
Lamentations 3, 19 through 24. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen.
Jesus is talking to his disciples, John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen to that. And where I go, you know, and you know the way.
John 16, 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
From Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Romans 12, 1 through 9. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, upholding that which is evil, clinging to that which is good.
The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message forward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding.
Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
John chapter 17, verse 6 through the end. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave to me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came to you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. All mine is yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that you may be you may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these that you have sent me, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of the God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit.
1 Peter 5:6-11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and they were created.
Job 42:1-6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Exodus 34, 6 through 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. It is your law that has been my delight. I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. By them, they have given me life.
From Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
As we go, let's lift our voice together. Jesse, lead us.
You are loved. You are sent. God bless.